Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast for what day is it? April 5th? No.
Fourth?
April
6th.
6th? I don't know.
God, we're fucking terrible.
Fifth.
Jesus Christ.
The fifth.
It is the 5th? Wow. Okay. April 5th, 2014. This is the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast, the podcast all about PC gaming.
Because you can't PC game while you're working out.
True. Very true.
Unless you had the Oculus Rift and the, what's that stupid
device? The Omni?
The Omni?
Yeah. Well, actually, what I've been doing lately, just to get a little bit of exercise in, besides my workout, is like between things in Hearthstone, I'll do like some kettlebell, throw that thing around and stuff. Just for something, you know, because you're just sitting there. It's either that or work for friends and stuff.
Yeah. So. No, I used to try to do reps in between rounds of Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, I think it's just because you feel guilty because you're sitting on your ass playing games all day. And it's like, maybe if I lift some heavy stuff in between rounds, then, you know, it'll all even out.
Push-ups and squats, I think anybody could do, right? Like, in between anything. Loading screens, anything, you know?
Yeah.
And squats is probably the most important because we have pancake asses because of all this
fucking game. Speak for yourself. Right? I've got a great ass.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't really spend too much time in loading screens. Not the
wow, this guy.
No,
I've got the monster rig. Yeah.
Not with two SSDs and a RAID 0.
Wow.
Blah blah blah. Technical jargon.
Shall we do intros?
Yes, I am Robert Digital. I'm here with Ender's Logic and Flopsy.
Hello.
Hey, what up, guys?
That's the crew.
We're about to jump right in.
Yeah, let's talk about Starbound, because I know we've been playing that.
Yeah.
You guys have.
How many hours did we put in last night?
Almost 5 hours.
Yeah, five
in
hours
one
straight.
Sitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we started at like 11 o'clock at night, and it's like, yeah, let's play a game that's known to be highly addictive and see what happens.
Yeah. And so 4:30 or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, we logged off. So that's a testament to how good the game is. I had originally played it for about an hour, and it's kind of weird. Like, the controls are weird, and so it took me a while, the whole hour, learning just how to play. So then, once I learned how to play, I just told Bobby how to play, and then we were able to get right into it. We started new characters, started on a new planet, and how would you describe it?
I would describe it, it's kind of what's popular these days. It's open world, it's crafting, survival, but it's two-dimensional, and it's got a bit of a platform aspect to it as well. Kind of like, you know, it looks a lot like Terraria. It plays a lot like Minecraft.
But it's Minecraft is third person?
Yeah, 3D.
Yeah.
But all the crafting and completing the objectives and a lot of that stuff is very similar to this game.
It's like 16-bit graphics, seems like.
Yeah,
like
it seems like.
Better than 8-bit, but not anywhere. It's like indie
but
style
again,
graphics.
I mean, I say this every day. It's pretty for what it is. I mean, they do really well with the shading and stuff, I thought. I think since they went this simplistic 2D graphics, they're getting away with putting a lot more content in the game than all these other games, like the 3D ones. Just because, like, it seems to be way more depth. The depth seems deeper than any of the other games in this genre.
Hmm.
So, me and Bobby
You mean
played,
depth, like, crafting?
Yeah, crafting, like, crafting. I don't...
Also, literal depth. You can dig way down into...
to the core of the Earth, or the whatever planet you're in.
Yeah, well, we dug all the way down, and we eventually reached a layer of, like, lava. So, I guess that was... the end of it.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's where seems to be where the platinum is only. So, I mean, we found diamond before we found platinum, but I think it really comes down to the Earth. I mean, to whatever planet you're on. Because, like I said, I just played another game and there was iron everywhere, and we had a hard time finding iron for the most part on the last game.
So, this is online. Will random people just show up on your planet?
You can play online.
Is it set up like Minecraft where you join a server?
Sort of. It's a single-player game. I consider it a single-player game. You can host a multiplayer game. You give your friend your IP address, and you have to forward some ports in your router, and then they can connect to you. I'm sure some people have some dedicated servers out there where they've gotten a lot of people on, and you can't really interact.
But there's no server list.
No.
You don't select any. So
it might be on a forum or something, but no.
So there's no, like, PvP. You can't get geared up like Rust and then go out and kill people.
You really can't interact with other players that much. We had a tough time just figuring out how to, like, trade items. We'd have to, like, throw them on the ground. The other person would have to pick them up.
Gotcha.
You can't just drop it at your feet. You chuck it every time.
Yeah.
And if you throw it through the guy, he doesn't pick it up. It just goes past him. So,
yeah.
It's weird.
So it is kind of weird playing with other people, but...
But it's still early alpha access, right? This is in beta or whatever.
I think it's alpha.
Might be early... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, could I think it's still an alpha.
But, yeah.
Okay. And how much is this?
$15, and they're really stingy. They haven't gone on sale. I just bought it because
early access, do they ever go on sale for early access?
Yeah, you get a deal because they're on early access.
Well, when it first came out on Steam, I remember it was on sale, and that was the only time, because it had been on my wish list for a long time, and I always wait for a sale, and it just never came on this one. Finally, I just decided to get it.
Yeah, last night I was like, well, we could play that, but I don't know if you want to dump $15 into it. I say it's totally worth $15. I think I'm going to play this a lot. Just that little bit that you just saw me play, like, mm-hmm. I was like, really getting into it again. Like, I was like, I can't wait to do this and this and this. So Bobby and I completely dominated the planet that we just started on. I mean, I don't think there's anything left to do. We dug to the core of the Earth. And it's really cool because you go through these different... So you start off, it's dirt. Then you get into cobblestone. And then you get... And you could see the layers like a planet would be formed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually there's a band of just dinosaur bones. And you're digging through those. And then you get to the lava pits. And then if you touch any lava, you're dead. So then... But then you can get past the lava pits and get even deeper. And then you get into, like, onyx... Or what was it? Obsidian.
Obsidian,
which is fucking tough to
take forever to dig through.
It's really tough, but that's where the good shit is. And meanwhile, if I were to give it one credit, I think they nailed it with the sound. Creepy monsters sound creepy as shit. And you can't see them in the dark. You can't see them through walls. And
there's just monsters way down there?
Because there's caverns.
And stuff.
So as you're digging, you'll find these giant caverns and... You know, you could either put a torch or, like one of the most fun things I did yesterday was I found a cavern, but I came in through the top of it, right? And so I don't know if I'm going to be safe if I fall through, but I don't really have a choice. I can...
Is there fall damage?
There is fall damage after a certain point. So what I would have to do is, like, you can make dirt too, but I didn't do it. But you can make a platform to fall on, but I didn't do it, so I fell, and then I fell into water. And then so I was like, well, that's not the end of this cavern. It still goes down. So I got a flashlight and just sank. And then in the complete darkness, just a flashlight. And I'm sinking and, like, looking around for monsters. And it just looked really pretty. The sound's awesome when you're underwater. It gets muffled. Everything gets muffled. It was just, like, a cool experience. Like, I really felt a sense of awe and, like, discovery.
Yeah. Do you feel like alone when you play that game? Because you're on this planet, you're supposed to be all by yourself.
Well, you start in your spaceship up above, and if you're on the surface, you can always transport back to your spaceship, and you can research various techs there that give you special powers like a double jump or various things.
That's the only thing we've found so far is a double jump.
Yeah, and I think you can travel to other planets too, and that's kind of where we left off last time when we were playing. We were just about to go to another planet.
Right.
But the sound definitely was good in that game, because as you go into these different areas, it changes the soundtrack. So when you get down by the lava or into a cavern, it kind of has a different sound or a different song playing that kind of fits that area. When you're on top and it's daytime, then it's kind of a more happy, upbeat, then nightfall, and then the music changes again. If you run into a monster, it kind of does this, like, fast, like, exciting, kind of like thrilling music until you kill it.
And the ambiance, too. Like, when you're in a cavern, there's cavernous, there's, like...
Gotcha.
It feels like you're in a cavern, you know?
Who's the developer on this?
Wait, I don't know.
Question we don't know, dude.
I just figured Bobby would know. That's kind of, like, his thing, like...
I always pay attention to that kind of stuff, but I think this is kind of like an indie thing. So
is this a first title by this company? That's what
I'm
curious
about. I'm sure they had it like when we loaded the game.
If it is, I mean, they really knocked it out of the park as far as like...
Yeah, Chucklefish Games is the developer and publisher.
Yeah, and I don't like their little screen that pops up at the very beginning when you load it. A guy kind of giggles in your ear. He goes, ha-ha! But it sounds like a real guy. It sounds
very real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this game would really benefit from some more multiplayer mechanics, though. Like, I think that's kind of what it's missing. I'm looking on Steam, and it's pretty far down on the list on most, or how many users are playing. It's down at... It's right below Path of Exile. Oh, wait, no, that's Terraria. Yeah,
one of these things. I mean, this could have been one of these games that just snuck by. You know, there's just so many. And plus, it hasn't had its official release either.
I think it's gotten a lot of notoriety, though. Like, I see a lot of people playing this. I was surprised by this number. Yeah, it's currently 5,500 people playing, and that's below a lot of things.
Right.
Well, I think there's also currently a mentality by some gamers that early access means don't pick it up yet. Really? Some people don't want to beta test, you know, yeah. So they're going to wait for the... just like Smite, like, we were enjoying it in alpha and beta, but other people, you know, obviously got an uptick when...
And, you know, it's so funny, it's like, I'm totally fine with this game, and I'm fine with DayZ, and I'm fine with Rust, like, I'm glad with how much I paid and what I got for those. And then, meanwhile, we played, what did we play today? Forced.
Yeah.
And it's a release title, and it's just full of bugs, and, I mean...
Unplayable.
Basically. I would have been pissed if I got that early access.
Yeah.
Like, give me something playable, but that's a release title.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think we were trying to play multiplayer, and apparently that's a little buggy, but...
But it was set up for multiplayer. That's obviously, like...
Yeah, it's obviously a co-op game.
Yeah.
And they might have originally planned for, like, local co-op only, but a game like that really does benefit from playing with other people, and... Not making that easily accessible is really, really bad for
that. Who has local co-op anymore anyway? I mean, like, we live in the same house, and we don't use LAN.
Spelunky's local co-op, but...
That's about it.
Don't we wish that was...
Do we want to talk about Forest a little bit, or do you want to finish up Starbound?
Yeah, is there anything more on Starbound?
I really like it. I can recommend it greatly, actually. But it's more... I mean, I really like the combat, but... I can see, like, somebody that's really into action wouldn't like this. It's more of a thoughtful game. You have to think about the things you're doing before
you do it. It's a little more slow-paced. And,
yeah.
You know, it's got a little bit of discovery. It's got a little bit of building. You can build your own place. We raided a castle that we found and killed everyone in it. And, you know, that was fun.
It was really fun because we didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, we just, you know, it's discovery. And, like, we want to go to different planets and see what else is out there. You know, it's a game about discovery, which is cool. But I don't see this really being...
Do you think you got your $15, Bobby? Because
I think it's worth
even in one night you did. I mean, 6 hours of entertainment.
But I just think it needs more multiplayer stuff. Because even though it's fun playing together with your friends, like you don't really need to. This is totally a game in its current state that you could play by yourself. And I'd like to see more things for two or three or four people to do on the same server. I don't know. Like on Rust, you kind of people fall into different roles and. Someone starts building, the other person starts hunting and gathering, and you work as a team to achieve a goal. And this, it's...
I had a little bit of that. You were Susie Homemaker while I was down in the mines.
Yeah.
Because he kept dying. He kept dying. Dying so many times. Oh, and the other thing is...
How do you die? Just by...
Lava, mostly him.
Yeah. Lava like, over and over. Fall down.
There was one pixel of lava that killed us both. Like, it killed him like 3 times, killed me once.
And you can't pick it or
anything? Yeah, we could have, but we just didn't because it's so small.
That's funny.
And eventually, like, our you'll know how deep this was, dude. Like, so, say our character's 4 feet high, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were probably down 1,000, more than 1,000 feet, like thousands of feet.
Really?
And so we had a trail of torches, because there's multiple paths down all these caverns, and we got a trail to get down to where we were, like, officially mining. Then once we got to the molten core, we're both kind of tired of digging. It's like, what the fuck are we going to do? And he's like, I need pixels. Let's kill monsters on the surface.
Pixels are the
currency. Yeah.
Okay.
So we just started going left a little bit. Actually, a good ways. And we ran into a castle with fucking knights. We hadn't even seen a human of any sort.
He's like, this is down in the...
No, this is on the surface.
Okay.
And he's like, Halt, who goes there? And I shot an arrow in his face. And then just all hell broke loose. Fucking knights were pouring out of a castle. Then the king came after us and an executioner was in there. And they had treasure chests and stuff. And so we kill everybody. I think I died at some point, but we just keep going.
What's the penalty for dying, by the way, in this game?
Just pixel loss.
Yeah, you can set it to permadeath, but in the mode that we were playing in, you only lose some money, and that was about it.
Gotcha.
And there's something in between hardcore mode, so I don't know what that does. You probably lose everything that's on your body or something like that when you die. But like when we were in the core, you mine all this shit, and you just jump in the lava because you can go over the top and you have all the stuff that you had. So in that respect, it's kind of, you know, that's a little too easy mode. But anyway, this is what I wanted to get to. So we robbed this place blind. They have a bunch of, like, gold chairs and fucking sconces and, like, everything's, you know. We're just mining, with our mining picks, knocking shit off the walls, paintings and weapon racks and all this shit. We go back to our shitty cave, and it looks like a bandit's hideout because it's a cave with, like, but gold like furnishings that we all robbed from the other place.
Why didn't you just move into the castle?
Because there was a reason.
When we go to the starship and then we get sent back down, it always sends us to the same place. So if you die, you always respawn.
You can't set a waypoint or whatever to change it?
I don't think so. You can craft something called a flag, like a human flag, or you are some bird character or something.
Yeah.
And you can craft an alien flag. And I don't know if that sets your waypoint. I don't know. We didn't test it out, but it was a theory we had.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But yeah.
First thing we did, I threw away our shitty wooden bed and put down a golden, like...
The bed you and Bobby share.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. I was like, you know how we know we're gay? It's like, we have all this cool stuff, but we still only have one bed.
Okay. So, you guys think I should pick it up?
I would have fun playing with you.
Yeah, I'd give it the thumbs up. I don't know. It's so hard to recommend a game because there are so many... Because
you hate everything?
Yeah. No, there's so many good games out there. It's just like...
wait, no, shut down. And then he fucking U-turned on us. Like, no, I can recommend it, but I don't know.
I'm just saying, man, we live in a time where just everything is so good. TV, movies.
It's the greatest time to be someone in the geeky side of things, right?
Yeah, you've got to be selective. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would totally recommend this game, but there's probably a lot of other games I'd recommend more.
So you had fun, but not that much fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm definitely going to be playing it more.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of wonder in the last hour if it was just more fun because we were so deliriously tired. We're giggling at everything. Like, that little joke about being gay went a long way last night.
Longer than it should
have. Yeah, way more.
Yeah. But yeah, so we got into Forced today, like literally 3 hours ago. And
we were forced to not have fun.
God, I knew that pun was coming somewhere.
Hey!
Someone's going to work that in somehow. But yeah, so this is a game.
Explain that to them. Well, let me first explain the game. It's a isometric, I guess. Up to 4-player co-op, and it's kind of like Diablo, but it's puzzle based, and you go into these little kind of arenas, and you've got objectives, and you got to do all the objectives, and when you finish the objectives, that arena is done. And so you can do up to 4-player co-ops. We were doing 3 players, and there's 4 different classes. There's an archer, there's a guy with a mace, there's a quick guy.
Yeah, it's
with,
basically an archer, ranged attack, warrior, which is like heavy damage.
Yeah.
Shield rogue. Guy, which is like a tank, and then your rogue, which is fast, light attack.
Maybe we're doing shitty because we have 4 people.
I don't think so. I played it on single player and I did better.
Yeah. Like, so, anyways, so that's the
fuck you.
That's the basic premise of the game. So you go in and try to do this, and if you beat enough of these little arenas, then you get like a boss fight.
This is one of those games that had a very clever theory behind it. Like, it was a great idea, but it was implemented horribly.
What's the great idea? Because it's Diablo with puzzles.
You know what? I'll tell you what the great idea was. Like, it is just an arena that they set you in, and you're just a little character that you're guiding around, and you're killing minions. Nothing special there. But I really like the idea that you had this orb that you could call to each one of you. So you could call it, I could call it, and you had to use that orb to activate objectives to, drag
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. You'd drag it across that hand-looking object that would kind of like set it as a bomb, and then you bring that bomb to another tower to blow it up. So it was almost like playing this weird form of catch while you were trying to kill all these other minions.
It's like one of those party games where two people, like kind of like a three-legged race or something like that. That's kind of what it is. It's, it takes cooperation, and you're rushing during cooperation. And you don't see, I mean, even like TF2, which is known for its like teamwork, it's not that kind of teamwork, like synergistic teamwork. And that's what I really liked about it. It's one shining thing. Because everything else is dog shit.
Yeah. Well, but we would try. I don't know if it's dog shit.
Yeah, I thought it was all right. I mean, the graphics were terrible.
I didn't like the graphics at all.
I like the colorful nature of it. It was kind of a more Torchlight as opposed to Diablo. Like, it's kind of got the bright colors, the more primary colors. Like, the archer is yellow, the warrior is red. Yeah. It's like the primary colors.
Lost myself over and over.
I know, me too.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the technical problems, I think it was a good game.
Well, tell the listeners the technical problems we were having.
The first technical problem I had was with the controller. The Xbox controller just does not work right off the bat.
And it should, like, this game should be designed for the controller. It's basically a twin stick shooter. Yeah. Like, you can move your guy, and then you also move which way he's facing.
Yeah. This is a game that would work better with a controller. Yeah. And the problem I had, first of all, you have to calibrate it every time you go into the game. At least I do for some reason. And you go in, you manually bind all the controls. And then I was playing the rogue character, so he's constantly attacking. I'm holding down right trigger to constantly attack, and I'm moving around enemies, strafing, kiting, doing damage. And then occasionally I want to use my special ability, which is the left trigger. I have to let go of the right trigger to be able to use my special ability on the left trigger.
It doesn't sound very hard.
It doesn't.
It's not like rubbing your belly and patting your head.
Well, imagine, think of another key that you hold down all the time, like shift for sprint. Imagine if you have to let go of sprint to be able to do something else, to shoot or something. It's a very, it doesn't sound hard, but it is a really big annoyance. And
I don't know.
So tell them about our internet.
Oh, yeah. We had all sorts of networking difficulties. We couldn't connect to any games and did a little research. A lot of people are having that trouble. We managed to upgrade to the beta, and then things started to work. Was it laggy for you guys? I mean, I was hosting.
Periodic lag.
Bad lag.
If you go to the Steam forced page, it's just a bunch of people saying, don't buy this game, the network doesn't work.
Yeah.
If I wanted to spend money on a black screen, I would have just punched myself in the dick. You know, it's like, it was just...
And that was Chad. That's why he just...
People were pretty upset about
the people seem really upset about it. And I'm hoping that once they get it figured out, maybe they'll kick people back something like costume or something.
And because, if you guys... Basically what we did to solve most of the problems is we had to play the beta version, the beta version of their next patch, basically
the 1.1.
And you have to go get the code for it and put it into the Steam settings so that you could download the beta. So I mean, it took us 15 minutes,
and this was after we spent half an hour trying to figure out router settings because we were told to open up ports
and stuff. I feel like a lot of games we've been playing recently, we've had to forward ports and give out IP addresses, and it's just taken me back 20
old
years.
School, yeah.
You take it for granted these days, the ease.
I don't take it for granted. All the time I'm like, fuck, this is so much better than Counter-Strike back in the day.
Hop in a game with no problem, or to be able to just have the controller work with no problem. Those are things that were not the case 15 years ago
Probably half our audience doesn't know what the hell we're talking about because they never had to deal with it.
Remember when you were like, oh man, I got a shift tab to click on Payday to join your game? Just shift tab, one click, three buttons.
No, in Payday you have to quit out of the game to go be able to join back in. Or what was it?
Shift tab.
No, not. There was something else that you had to quit out of the game. You couldn't.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, so there's that extreme, and then now we're playing all these other games. I don't think you've played any of them where you have to push in the IP and stuff, and old school stuff.
Bring up the console and connect to the IP address and all that stuff.
Well, it has. We had to do that. Like in Project Zomboid, which is the other game that I've been playing this week.
Yeah, yeah. We had to set up a server for that, forward ports, send out an IP and a port number, get all that.
I'm so lazy. I'm like, hey, Bobby, can you set everything up? And just chill. Like, I'm going to go play some Hearthstone. Well, he should, you know, he has a better connection. He has a better rig, so he should be, you know,
hosting it.
Yeah, but I mean, I could be doing.
But let's talk about the gameplay a little bit on Force, because once we got in the game, it was fun. And I, unlike you, I liked the combat. You were playing the archer and didn't like the archer. You were doing some
I like the other guy way
stupid
better.
Like slow and shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I actually was having a lot of fun with that shield guy because
he seemed cool.
His default action is to block. So like, as long as you're not attacking, and sometimes even if you are attacking, as long as you're facing the enemy, you're not taking damage.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
So, but there's no taunt, so I couldn't get guys off of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they work threat in any way in that game. I'm not positive
on that. It seems kind of random.
I mean, I don't think the combat, the characters that you play, really work in tandem in combat. Like, I don't think the tank takes all the damage, the warrior does all the damage. I don't think it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the whole thing with the orb, with bouncing that around.
That was my favorite part of the game.
Yeah, you had to really, like, communicate. And then after a while, we didn't even need to communicate. We would just see where someone was, and you'd be like, oh, okay, now pull it your way. And then halfway through the
set, we also had our debacle,
which leads me to ask, this game has so much communication things. They didn't have VGS system or anything like that. I couldn't imagine playing with some stranger trying to.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's no command to say take the orb, like in Smite or whatever. You know, you type a couple buttons and it says, hey, take the orb or activate this. Like, well, that game, this
that's
game
that's kind of the point
it.
I was getting at, though. I think at a certain point, when you play this game enough and you get good at it, you read the situation very well and you know when you need to pull an orb or when. So,
yeah, but you're when you're strangers. That's the problem.
Yeah.
No, see, I think the same thing. When you're with strangers, I think, like, you see, okay, this guy's at the top of the screen. I'm at the bottom. The orb's right there. I obviously need to pull it my way to activate this. You know, I think
we were having a couple times where two people were trying to pull it, and it was kind of bouncing back and forth between us.
The best one was you need the orb on you when you're getting ass raped by the boss. Like, fucking wrestle fucked.
Yeah.
And he won't let you up, and you need the orb. And Bobby thought he was getting pinned for some reason, but he wasn't. So he's pulling it as fast as he can, and you can hear them both tugging it. Bing, 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 bing. They both want it. And Chad's like, I need it. He's yelling, I need it. And Bobby's not listening.
Bobby's yelling back, and I need it.
It was only 3 seconds, but it was hilarity.
Well, see, that's the problem with these type of games, is that your character is so small and there's so much going on, it's easy to lose track of what's happening.
Oh, I lost even in normal battles, I lost my character.
I almost felt like you need like a ring, like a color ring around you to you know, like...
There is one, but like more...
It's muted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. My favorite part was the boss. And I was... That boss fight was a lot of fun, that first boss that we did, because it was like dangerous, but you were still moving around, and we had just gotten our heal abilities, so we were like surviving, and it had to do some special stuff.
It was a
well-thought-out
boss, I thought. Yeah. I kind of expected some orb mechanics besides...
Well, there was that one.
That one thing.
But it was fine, but he was a good boss. Other bosses, there will be. We haven't really gotten that far into the game. But yeah, the boss did feel very World of Warcraft-like. He has a set of abilities. When he does this, you have to counter it by doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we want to talk about a game that we highly don't want to recommend.
I don't think it's that bad.
I don't think... I can't say I recommend it because of bugs. But from the just
concept.
Gameplay mechanic-wise, I can recommend it. Like, I want to see single player and see it, because a lot of the mechanics that we were doing was a multiplayer-style mechanic, so I can imagine...
Bobby, you weren't playing with the lag we were playing with, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty shitty.
I did play, like, an hour of single player, though, and it was...
So you basically pull the orb somewhere and then walk somewhere else and pull it again.
You have to manually do everything, which is why I used the rogue, because he has a dash and it helped me get around more.
I think so. Good, because you can dash through the pillars that you need to... Right?
You can dash through the pillars. And I think they scale down the difficulty a little bit when you're playing single player, but because I swear some levels seemed easier when I was playing by myself.
Yeah,
but
we got fucked like 12 times on that one level.
Yeah,
like,
missed.
The boss we beat in one try, and then the level right before the boss, we were dying just again and again. We kept switching characters to try to figure out which ones we liked.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd probably... Are you guys, like, completely over that game, or...
No. I want to... Oh, speaking of which...
If you guys want to play, I'll play, but I'd rather play Star Realms.
I mean, I don't want to force you.
Speaking of which... nice callback! speaking of which, I have two more copies of Forced. I bought the four-pack expecting Bobby... I don't know why. I'm a retard, apparently. But I expected Bobby not to have a copy, which he does. So I bought a four-pack, so I've got two copies of Forced. So, if you want a free copy of Forced, email us, send a message with your Steam account name and the word Forced, and I will send you, I'll pick two and send them out to people, so.
Cool. Hey, you guys got to
give us some feedback when you,
packs.
Give us some feedback
when
you send
that. Maybe we can give one to Teo if he wants to play.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I almost bought a four-pack of Space Engineers today, and I was just like, I don't know, because I think the last four-pack I ever bought was Dead Island, and it was kind of hard for me to, like, get those out to, like, enough people, and that was, like, you know, that was a big, expensive title.
I told you last week on that Steam, project, I was saying some statistics about the Steam.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
One of the ones that I forgot to mention was the game that the least played game that's
Being purchased,
the ratio of bought to played is Dead Island and the expansion.
Or I wonder if it's because of that sale they recently had. Because they recently, like a week or two ago, they had both of those for like $10 or something, or like Dead Island for like $5. And a lot of people probably picked that up thinking, oh, I'll play this sometime.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never got into it.
Which is crazy because... Zombies gets you hard, so like anything with zombies.
Yeah, it had really the Tropical Island, which is my favorite setting. So speaking like, of, I did like that game.
Speaking of zombies, you're playing Project Zomboid, right?
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh hi, yeah.
Seamless.
Yeah, I really fucking like this game a lot. Like, if I'm gonna play a game by myself, it's probably gonna be that right now. That or Skyrim, if I ever get back into it. You really feel like you're... It's ominous. You really feel like you're by yourself.
Yeah, I was watching you play.
There is no hope.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary just to watch you.
Chad hates fucking...
and the graphics are shit.
And the graphics are shit.
Like,
despite those two things,
yeah,
they nailed the feeling and the hopelessness. You know, and we used a lot of these same words when we were talking about DayZ.
Mm-hmm.
But... DayZ, I feel like in order to have a good time, you got to play for like 2 hours. This, you could go a 5-minute run, and since it's in fast forward, the time is not real time. You feel like you've accomplished something.
The thing about DayZ is, since it's set up in a multiplayer format,
yeah, you got to worry about other people.
Yeah, and that's the real fear is the players
like
in,
Rust.
In DayZ and in Rust.
Yeah.
But this, since it's a single player. The fear is the zombies,
yeah.
Like, and you start off with absolutely nothing, so
right.
Like, you gotta find stuff.
Yeah, and what do you think of the point system?
I really like
it's
the character
cool, right?
creation. Like, so there's what, five different ones?
There's five,
like,
defaults:
firefighter, police officer, security guard,
and all that gets you is a perk.
Yeah,
that's it. And then there's a bunch of other perks that you need to give yourself. Something bad in order to get something good.
Well, so this is how it works. It's you start off with 0 points. So you can just say, I want to start the game right now, and you can go in just like
correct.
That. But you can get points by giving yourself a defect. So you can give yourself clumsy, and it'll give you 3 points or 4 points
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you can
give
then
yourself eagle eye.
Eagle eye,
right.
And it will cost you 4 points. So you could be clumsy and have eagle eye. So it's set up how you want to set up, depending on how many defects you want, you can get so many amount of perks.
Yeah, and I usually go with like, just to give you an example, I go with like light drinker, I think, or heavy drinker. One of the two.
Lightweight,
I don't never drink.
Lightweight.
Yeah, I don't drink much. I don't drink any alcohol in the game, so.
We didn't even find
that's
any.
A default. Every once, I leave it in the thing usually.
Oh, okay.
So that's worth two.
Oh, that probably affects like morale or whatever.
Yeah, there's
or
upside
tension.
And downside. It counts as food, not. Drink.
Well, same with cigarettes, but cigarettes gave you like morale or tension or
stress relief.
Yeah, I bet you alcohol.
But unhappiness goes up. Like everything is a two-sided sword. But you know, you just got to weigh out what you need versus what the downside is. So So I usually get heavy drink or whatever it is, and then the other one is like something else that doesn't. That's not too bad.
I go with like the hearty appetite or like the one that where you eat a lot more.
Right.
You
know, which, but the thing is, like with that one, there is a lot of food everywhere at the beginning. But then, and I always think that I'm going to get like further, but I never do. You know, I want to get to the point where like I want to survive. And later on, I think food and water are going to be the worst.
Did you guys
ones.
Play together?
We did for a while. Yeah.
But the game's much more scaled down at that point. Like you can't.
It was a lot easier.
Yeah. Like, it didn't seem like your emotions get into play. It doesn't seem like a whole bunch of stuff wasn't taken into account. And also,
I think we needed to play with the server setting, so.
What do you mean? What did we play with?
I don't know. I just went with whatever was the default, and it seemed way too easy.
Yeah. But it all depends on where you spawn. I've had games where I last 30 seconds.
Is it?
A lot of them.
And so, some, you know. It's all one map, and it's just where you spawn on the map?
Right, exactly.
It doesn't seem like the map ends, either.
So you can get, like, you can learn the map and then have some advantage?
It's really big. Really big. And there's no cars.
Oh, there was two maps, right? They were both, like, in Kentucky or something like that?
Yeah, they're both in Kentucky. One's Fort Knox. Or, no, Point... I don't know. Some military base.
I like how it starts the game, though. Like, the beginning screen is, this is the story of how you died, or something like that. So it's like, you know what the ending is. You know
you're gonna die no matter what. Yeah.
So, how far have you guys gotten?
I don't know if you can really measure that in this
2 weeks, 2 days? Not very long at all.
Okay.
Which is like 2 hours
of
gameplay.
Have you guys gotten weapons?
Yes, when we played together,
we got a shotgun.
You got a shotgun, and it's a street sweeper. Like,
yeah.
There were so many zombies, and Bobby's just like, oh, I'm going to take a shot. I think you just meant to kill one. He took out like six zombies.
Yeah. Really?
Like one shot, so... But it's really loud.
I was watching you play, and so you had the frying pan to start with.
Yeah.
And a zombie would come up, and you gotta like cock the frying pan. It's not like just a swing action. You gotta like cock it first.
You charge it.
Yeah. And so you see him hit, and I was like, oh, cool. He took a zombie out one swing. Nope. He gets in there and just starts beating the body. I'm like, wow. And then you see the zombie die.
Yeah, I thought that was
a cool, like...
Yeah.
To take it to the next level, like, these are zombies. Like, they're not supposed to just fall over dead.
You need to break the skull, right?
Yeah.
So you got to do some heavy damage. And so that's some of the perks you can get. You can make yourself super strong or whatever. The one I usually go with is lucky. Right? It costs 4 points. And it seems to work. Like, I find good shit right
I don't know what I don't remember what I set up for that one that you were playing
Hardy.
But that one was working really well.
Yeah, it was working well. Go ahead.
Oh no! I was just gonna say I don't know if I really connected with this game. I didn't play that much single player, so maybe I need to give that a shot. But I think I need more objectives in this kind of game.
What's the single objective is just to survive as long as possible.
What's the cost of this?
$10 on it when I was on sale.
It's $15 regular.
And this is out, right? This is an early access, correct?
No, this is early access. And if I had one thing to say that I didn't like, it would be that the multiplayer was not as fun as the single player. And that's very, very rare for a game, you know. Not because Bobby's an asshole, but mostly because most of the mechanics... Most of the mechanics seemed to be missing. The stuff that...
So basically the same issues you had with Starbound you have with this game.
I don't know. I like the multiplayer.
I mean, kind of. It is kind of the same thing because... when you play multiplayer in a game, usually that changes it somehow, but these two games, it just, there were two of us. That was the only thing. There were two of us just doing stuff.
Gotcha.
There wasn't anything different about it. Instead of one guy running around, grabbing food, shooting stuff, there were two guys doing it. So
we're hoping that as these things get closer to final, they're going to add more multiplayer aspects to it and stuff for both these
games. I mean, if you do that to Zomboid, what you're going to end up having is DayZ, I think. You know?
Yeah,
unless
but
you join a group with somebody or something.
I don't think Bobby's saying they need a server system, but it would be cool if two people got in there and there's twice as many zombies or something along that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
To compensate for the multiplayer.
Is that what you're saying, Bob?
Yeah.
What are you saying, Bobby?
What am I saying? I'm saying you need to be able to... Movement seemed like the most important thing in this game. Like, you just keep moving and scavenging. There was no building a base or fortifying or anything like that.
Emilio was talking about they got seed packets and stuff. You can, like, eventually make, like, farms, and you can start, like, farming and
that,
stuff like that.
That never really came into play, and it didn't seem to be necessary at all. Like, I don't
Not
know.
In this... Because the only thing you've played is the multiplayer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And single player, you know, you well, get to the point where...
You were also saying that, like, the fridges
are gonna
run
turn
out
off the electricity.
Energy.
Yeah,
so, like, if you're playing and you're months in, all the food's gone. You've scavenged everything. You got to be making your own at that point, right?
Yeah, you got to be making
There's
your
no,
own.
Yeah. It doesn't respawn.
And I don't know where rain comes from.
Well, I mean,
water.
You can fortify and build a base. I mean, you can board up windows and stuff like that. I'm just saying that there didn't really seem to be any reason to.
Just surviving, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, you could. It seemed a lot easier to survive if you kept moving and kept scavenging. I don't know, maybe that was just the way we were playing, but it just.
Right, but like what Chad's saying is eventually you're going to scavenge the whole town, right?
Yeah. I don't know, we just kept going. Remember when we played? We just kept going. And fucking when one of us died and we spawned back at the house, it was just way too far of a distance to.
Oh,
to
you
travel.
Respawn all the way back to the house when you respawn?
The original house. I think Bobby kept dying. Just like last night, Bobby fucking died so much.
Which is funny because Bobby's the best one at video games between the three of us.
Yeah,
I was playing
that. Starbound.
Both of those games, Zomboid and Starbound, I think we were playing at like 3 a.m. and I'm not at my peak at that hour.
When are you at your peak? Because you're not at your peak
usually
today because of last night.
Yeah.
So.
But those two Red Bulls are probably helping out.
Yeah. And you could probably hear me open
the one that nobody heard.
Nobody heard it at all.
And the one I didn't pause in the middle of my sleep. So what I'm talking about, there's big ass monsters. And they're really scary, I guess.
Oh,
so
man.
You drink slowly, babe.
So, recommend. Yes, no. You recommend it?
Highly.
Bobby, you don't recommend it. Not right now. We'll have to see how it goes.
I think Bobby needs to play a single player. Oh, no, you did play a little bit.
I did play a little bit of a single player. And, yeah, I don't see myself recommending this one. I don't even know if I'm going to hold out for it. Like, I don't
well,
know.
You've already bought it, so you might as well play it.
I don't know. I got other stuff to play.
You could do the Steam share or whatever and let me play.
No, that's true. You know what game I came out actually yesterday that I kind of had my eye on? this game. What is up with games just like having you do the most mundane, boring stuff and somehow it's exciting because it's a game? But this game
Prison Architect.
Goat Simulator?
Well, that game.
Was it Goat Simulator?
No, it wasn't Goat Simulator. Okay, it's called Viscera Cleanup Detail. Let me read the description here.
Is this the crime scene cleanup one?
Yeah, okay, alright. So let me read the description.
That's Viscera, that makes sense. Yeah.
So in Viscera Cleanup Detail, you step into the boots of a space station janitor tasked with cleaning up after various sci-fi horror events.
That's awesome.
Instead of machine guns and plasma rifles, your tools are a mop and bucket. That hero left a mess, and it's up to you to deal with the aftermath.
That's so awesome.
That is awesome.
In December, I bought the Santa one, and everyone was kind of pissed because they were waiting for the real one to come out, but there was like a Santa one where someone massacred like Santa's workshop and like killed all the elves and reindeer, and you had to clean it up. But this one came out, and there's a Shadow Warrior expansion pack, but it's basically saying like, you know, you go through, you play through all these games and you hack and slash.
Somebody's got to clean that
shit
up.
Yeah, someone's got to clean that stuff
up. Isaac's name in the horror...
In Dead Space?
Dead Space, yeah.
It was named after two scientists, Isaac... Hayes? Newton?
I don't know. Anyways, so Isaac makes a huge fucking mess when he goes through these space stations.
Yeah, or Shadow Warrior, slicing people up with a blade.
Right.
So you're basically a janitor. You get a mop, and you know you have dispensers that give you buckets or like hazmat baskets that you put the body parts in, and then you carry them over to the incinerator, and you mop up all the...
So there's no enemies or whatever?
No.
You're just timed? What's the challenge?
It's just to clean everything. You got this little detect... Yeah, just to clean everything.
So you could just do it eventually.
So you take your time, you know, you're just cleaning stuff and you can,
that's ridiculous.
It's actually pretty fun and addictive in a weird way.
It's like a puzzle game though, right? Like you got to figure out how to do it with the dispensers.
No, it's not hard. It's not hard, dude. This is what I'm saying. You're just cleaning stuff up, dude. There's blood and bullets and shotgun shells and intestines and body parts all over the place and someone's got to clean that shit up.
Sure. It's like, just clicking.
Isometric? Top down?
It's first-person shooter.
First-person shooter.
Well, not shooter, but it's first-person.
Cleaner. It's first-person cleaner.
Yeah. Well, FPC. You have your mop, and you put it in the bucket, and you, like, clean off the wall, and eventually your mop gets too bloody, so you got to put it back in the bucket.
They might as well have called this the Mexican.
Anybody that's offended, he actually is Mexican, so.
You should get this game, dude.
Why? That's my life.
I don't know, dude. I think this game would be really fun multiplayer for some reason.
Like, what? Do they have multiplayer?
You can host it, yeah. You can host a game. There's no dedicated servers, but... Yeah.
So, surviving in a town with zombies infested in there? Nah, can't see it. Cleaning up intestines?
With no difficulty.
There's a goal. There is an objective.
What is it? Clean everything.
To clean...
But yeah. There's no time limit.
So?
There's no challenge involved with the objective.
So you see this big, gnarly, muddy mess? If you punch out, you can... They have this little, like, punch clock, and you can punch out without fully cleaning everything
up. So you go on overtime?
Penalized, I guess. But yeah, I mean, imagine just going through a level that you had already ran through in some shooter, and now this time you actually just have to clean everything up. Like, that's basically it. It's a completely...
I'm not sold at all.
It's the hardest game to sell someone on, but I'm...
I thought, at least put some, like, mini monsters in there that you can't fight, you just have to run from, and you're trying to clean over here while, you know...
Well, I thought the fun would be you got to clean it up in time for the next person that's coming through.
Oh, that's fine. Because
if you don't clean it up in time, then the next player that runs
through...
He's
going to slip or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a casual game. It's not...
So, how many hours of gameplay is there, and what's the cost?
God, it would take a long time, because I spent about 45 minutes, and I was, like, halfway through one room. In the first level. So if you had more than one person, it would go a lot quicker. You have someone like running the buckets.
He's trying to get us to play.
You get one person running the buckets back and forth, another person picking up body parts.
He wants the first person to have Steam cards for this game because nobody completes the first level because it's so fucking monotonous. You know, last night when we were fucking down in Molten Core and we're trying to get through the Obsidian, and it's just fucking, this shit takes forever. He's like, we should get all our friends down here working. So I could see how his mind works.
So what's the cost of this?
It's on sale for $5.99. Normally, like $7.99. Yeah. Okay.
That's five too much.
What I think would be a cool idea is if they could sell this to game manufacturers that make it the... cleanup add-on to all these other games.
Like a DLC. Not a DLC.
Well, that's kind of what they did with Shadow Warrior. Yeah, they had the Shadow Warrior DLC. So you play like Shadow Warrior.
No, but what I want to do is play the game and then clean up my mess.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not like a standard thing.
But
like,
even still,
I'm making the splatter.
I need at least head crabs, like, trying to kill me. You know? That would add, like, sneakiness, at least.
But I think the point of the game is not to have enemies. Like, that's kind of the thing. Like,
maybe no combat.
No
enemies that you have to run to. Amnesia.
I think the time thing.
See, I don't know. I don't see much of a difference between this and just holding down the left mouse button while you're just digging away at dirt for like hours. We spent 5 hours.
But you dig at dirt, then to build something, then to kill monsters.
Yeah, you get better.
Okay,
remember that flaming axe? I found.
We haven't played the game, so maybe we're gonna play it. Maybe
I'm not gonna play it.
Maybe we'll watch.
I'm telling
play
you,
it.
You just start playing it, and you're just like, "Oh, I gotta get that blood over there. Oh, now I got bloody footprints over here. Oh, now I gotta get that. Oh, damn it! The water in the bucket's too messy. I gotta go get a new one." It's just, I'm telling you, like it's just me because I like to clean stuff. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's the OCD.
Maybe it's all
the OCD.
Yeah. All the crack you're smoking. You just want to smoke crack or something and play clean up.
Like, I'll spend 5 hours cleaning a virtual environment, but not my apartment, apparently. Yeah.
So, I was listening last week to our show because apparently I'm egotistical. But so I was listening, and I brought up at one point... and I mentioned that we're all hardcore gamers, but as I'm listening to it, I was thinking to myself, are we hardcore gamers? So the question I have for you guys, because it came up, is what is your definition of a hardcore gamer, and do you see yourself actually falling into that?
I don't know. You want to...
Yeah, I'm ready. A hardcore gamer is somebody that's in the know. Like, we read articles, or like, I follow PC Gamer, like, on... Twitter. I actively am in the community of gaming.
Let me ask you this question. I watch Smite videos all the time. I like watching Dry Bear. I like watching...
Right.
I keep up to date on Smite. I almost never play it.
Right.
Am I a hardcore Smite player? Because I'm in the know.
Not a Smite player, but you're probably a hardcore Smite fan. But you are a Smite...
But that's not what I'm asking. What is a hardcore player?
No. You are a hardcore gamer.
Yes. Even though I don't game.
You do game other things.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm in the know, but I don't game. So am I hardcore?
In that game.
Okay.
You are a hardcore gamer because because, well, first you have a gaming podcast.
Okay.
No, but besides that, yeah, being part of the community, you know, people that just buy the AAA titles every once a month and just plays that and don't talk to anybody about it, I wouldn't even call that a hardcore gamer. That's a casual gamer.
Yeah, but I know a lot of guys that play Call of Duty that play more time the game more than I do.
That's another thing, yeah. If you put in tons of hours, if that's your primary, that's another thing. Another thing that you could say about it is, like, if that's your primary source of entertainment, which is mine, I mean, that's probably a hardcore gamer.
So,
but see, if you're doing that and you're just playing Candy Crush,
it's a loose term. I mean, I remember reading an article from years ago that was saying, like stay-at-home moms are the new hardcore gamers because they were at home all day on Facebook playing, like, Farmville or something. And, you know, that I do kind of have a problem
with. Was it not Sims, maybe?
No, I don't think it was Sims. It was Facebook games. So, like, yeah. I'm assuming Farmville or Mafia Wars or something.
Yeah, hardcore game. That's...
I don't consider those games, really, for reasons that we could spend forever talking
Zombies
about.
Zombies sucking at the Facebook teat.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think a hardcore gamer is just anyone who plays a lot of games and is passionate about it and who's really interested in it.
Even if it's Wii.
Even if it's what? The Nintendo Wii?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, there's various types of gamers out there. There's console gamers and PC gamers and, you know, mobile gamers. But
yeah, but well, I guess my thing is gaming has become a standard of entertainment.
Absolutely.
So to now be hardcore, I think it's got to go beyond just playing a bunch of games. Like, because
that's what
everybody
I'm saying,
plays a bunch of games.
That's what I'm saying. Play a bunch of games and be part of the community.
But, I mean, I know a ton of people. So are we now saying hardcore is now 50% of the population? Because that doesn't sound hardcore to me. That sounds like half the population. No, you know, like, where's the
most
where's
players,
the hardcore?
I don't think most players are in the know. I don't think
really?
A lot of people follow all that stuff.
But you're the only one that's invented, that found out about the internet? Like, everybody... Like,
you might look up one thing, but, like, I'll read articles on games that I never intend on playing. You know, just to, like, have that information. And then be able, like, a lot of people won't be able to have a conversation with me. Like, they... Okay, so there's a lot of people at work, right? And they're console gamers. And then I'll talk to them about stuff that I know, and they'll have no idea. And I'll be like, well, I mean, that's a major title coming out, and they don't even know.
But you do the same thing the other way around. You learn about PC and ignore console.
Sure.
So,
hardcore PC gamer.
But that's not what I'm asking. I'm saying, what is the definition of a hardcore gamer?
I don't think we can really define it. I don't think there's, like, just some line of delineation, you know, some line that we can say, okay, this is hardcore, this is not hardcore.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of vague in a gray area.
Dumb question, Chad. Move on. Moving on.
It's not a dumb question. I mean, that's a valid question or a valid conversation.
The reason, I guess, I was asking is because I don't consider myself a great gamer. Like, I'm not a great first-person shooter gamer. I'm not a great MOBA player.
Hey, you're a fucking fantastic Solstice player. Jesus Christ.
I do okay at Solstice Arena, but, I mean, I'm not top tier of any game.
Yeah.
So can I call myself a hardcore gamer if I'm not top tier at any game?
I think so, because I used to latch onto a game and play that exclusively and get really good at it. Mm-hmm. And in recent years, I've really just made a change towards playing more games and playing single player games and just kind of like enjoying that game for a certain time period, then moving on to another one.
Especially now with the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the, it's a curse and a blessing, but more of a blessing that I'm hopping around buying and playing all these games. It's good for the industry. It's good for me. It's good for conversation. But the downside is you're not getting extremely good at one game. I would probably call myself a hardcore TF2 player, even though I don't play anymore. And I keep up with the community.
You put the time in.
Yeah, and I think I'm pretty good at it.
You've earned the time.
Like, I could jump in and still get to the top of the
server. You have, like, three hats. You're not hardcore.
I mean, if you can hold an intelligent conversation about a game, and I think, like, that qualifies you. Because I don't think a lot of people that get into one specific title and play exclusively that and know all about that but nothing about any other games, like, that... I think too much of one thing is not good in any case, whether it be a game, whether it be a food, whether it be whatever, you know, a genre of movie or, you know, zombies or whatever. You know, too much of one thing is just never that great. So I think it's, I don't know. That's really a personal decision, though. That's, for me, I'd like to sample more.
Well, So I was thinking about it. My conclusion, my answer that I came up with, because I was thinking about it this week, is that I think a hardcore of anything chooses that to the detrimental to the detriment of other things. Meaning, if you're a hardcore music fan, you listen to music so much that other things suffer because you listen to it so much. Or because So in my definition of
hardcore... I don't have cable because I game so much.
Exactly. Yeah. So in my definition of a hardcore gamer is you focus on gaming so much that other things suffer because of it.
Right.
So that was...
Even Love
so
Life.
You guys kind of... especially Love Life. But you guys kind of matched on what I was saying, what I was thinking. But I do disagree. I think if you're bouncing around to a bunch of games, I think most people wouldn't consider you a hardcore gamer. I think most people think of you as a casual gamer that plays a lot of games. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I think our definition of hardcore has changed as we've gotten older and we start playing more games. Because the 21-year-old me said, if you were not gaming Counter-Strike 40 hours a week, then you're not a hardcore gamer. You know, and I think our definition of hardcore has changed.
Well, it used to be a lot harder to be one because you had to be good at, like, tinkering with your PC and, you know, and like, almost hacking your own rig just to play some games, you know? Yeah. And that was the hardcore gamer.
Learn how to set up controllers and IPX LANs and all sorts of networking issues.
Yeah. See, I would read forms that he wrote.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know. See, I really am a strong believer in variety of games, though. Like, I truly am because I just think... If someone is really into one title and that's all they can talk about, like I could hold a conversation about quite a few games. I could talk to you if I meet someone and they're really into Assassin's Creed, I could talk with them at length on Assassin's Creed.
You could, but it always starts with I don't know.
I'm gonna disagree with you.
Even if you go first. Hey, let's talk about Skyrim. I don't know.
Hey, about every game there's always things that I'm gonna like and I'm gonna dislike, so you know,
more one than the other in general.
No, but you know, if someone came up to me and like I'm really into TF2, then I could talk to them about TF2, and that's why I'm glad like I finally got around to playing Dota and League of Legends, because there's a ton of people that are into that, and now I know some names of the characters, I know like a little bit about the game, so I could hold a bit of a conversation about that. I'm not going to get crazy and play like 40 hours a
week. You actually did some research on like the players that were in the documentary.
Oh, yeah. I followed up on that. Have you watched Free to Play
the
documentary?
Not yet. I will this weekend.
It's only an hour. Just over an hour.
Well, they followed three Dota players. One of them, the American, was Fear. I can't remember his first name. Loomis. But I was checking on the rankings because that documentary was based on the tournament from like 3 years ago.
And probably the very
don't
first...
Don't spoil it for Chad.
Probably the very first $1 million tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, right. So that was my question. Do you know that they've had multiple $1 million tournaments? Yeah.
They do it like once a season or whatever.
How are they making money?
Well, I mean, League of Legends does like $3 million tournaments.
Yeah, I can see how they make money, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this... I was checking the Dota standings, and one of the guys from that documentary is still ranked like 20th or something. And another guy, he's on a team, Evil Geniuses, and another guy on his team is ranked number one, Arteezy. Number one in Dota, man. Canadian dude.
He must be so good.
Canadian dude?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you
think why are you so surprised?
America represent.
He could still be Asian.
Number one Dota NA.
So, remember a couple weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we were talking about, you know, walking around with our augmented reality and being able to see numbers above people's heads. Yeah. So Xbox Live has implemented such a system within itself to try to get rid of like shitty gamers, basically. Not get rid of them, but have penalties for them. So there's three tiers of gamers. And I guess you get upvoted and downvoted by other gamers, but this goes across the network, not a particular game. Some games have this. This is for the whole Xbox Live thing. So there's three tiers. It's like a great gamer, and then there's something in the middle like normal gamer, and then there's third one, it's called Avoid Me. And Avoid Me is they get penalized by like longer queue times because they only get queued with other level threes, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then the ones I believe are rewarded by there's a certain thing, like you get extra points for your Xbox Live account and stuff like that. So it's implemented now. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Do we need this in Steam? In general, I don't think you interact with other Steam players as much as they do on... Like, when you're on Xbox Live, can't you just talk to whoever you're playing with in like most games?
Yeah.
So there's a lot more connectivity in the Xbox, but do we need this in life? Do we need this on the Xbox? What do you guys think?
It sounds like a cool concept. Like, I hate griefers. And
I hate griefers.
So anything to help stop
and
that.
And trolls.
Trolls
are fucking hate trolls.
Yeah.
There's got to be some accountability online. Yeah. There really has to. I mean, if you're walking down the street and you say something inappropriate to some dude, you run the risk of getting punched in the face. You know, that's just the rules that have worked for
years and years.
That's why I only
say shitty things to ladies.
So you get slapped instead of punched.
But if you go online, then, you know, you give someone the freedom of anonymity, and a lot of times it does not work out well in anyone's favor.
This is why I said that I want to get rid of handles, and I just want to go by your name. Like, the accountability would go up so far.
The other thing that is ties into that is that since Xbox Live is a pay-for service, that they can do this, because you can't just quit your Xbox and get another Xbox Live account.
Right. And and you need to adhere to their rules when you subscribe to their service.
Yeah.
Well, Steam does have a few things to, like, they have the VAC ban. If you were caught cheating or something, you can check someone's profile. It'll say how many and when they got a VAC ban. They also have, you can report other players, because I do a lot of trading with the cards. You can report other players for misconduct there. And whenever you conduct a trade with someone who has one of these flags or penalties, it'll pop up and tell you before you trade with
them. Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit, but there's no sort of rating system. And, you know, there's a lot of people who have Steam who don't play multiplayer games and never interact with any other people. So it may not be...
They would probably stay neutral or whatever, right? Yeah. But they wouldn't get the benefits.
Well, it may not be something you need to implement on the Steam level, but depending on the game... Yeah. I think it's more of the game's responsibility.
Yeah.
If you have a game that's really dependent on multiplayer, like Smite, I think Smite needs a better system for reprimanding trolls and griefers and rewarding good players.
Yeah.
I mean, some games, I don't know how some people are still in the game. I'm sure people complain about them so much. I remember there's this guy called Dead Babies, and all he was a troll, a massive troll every game. I'm not even going to help. And he was just... Weeks after, this is early beta, but still.
Of what game?
Smite.
Oh. Okay.
And he would still just be around, just fucking just flaming and, you know, trolling.
Yeah.
I think games like League that have a pretty robust ones, I think other games should follow that, where you can give people good rating or give people bad rating.
Yeah.
And give,
like Dawn Gate.
Dawn Gate only has a positive. I mean, you can block and report them. But it didn't feel as, like...
Yeah, League definitely did it the best.
League so far... But League also didn't reward you for giving positive, other than you get a little point, but I don't think that actually translates into something. Dawn Gate actually improves your reward at the end of the game if you get positive feedback from players. So, like, if you get Dawn Gate's positive side and League's negative side together, I think you really got something that can start. And I think they're still learning this process out with this online stuff. I think that this will be a standard in a couple of years moving forward with games. I think it'll just be one of those standard things like Deathmatch or whatever.
Well, in a game that depends on having a large community, it's going to become a necessity, because if you have... I'd say the number one reason people leave a game is because of the community, because of bad experiences with other players. And if you can reduce that somehow, then...
How about let's have less shitty people in the world?
That's never going to happen.
That's always,
come on.
Yeah.
Come
that's
on.
Always a positive thing.
Let's get real here. All right. So we're at about an hour. So I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about
What do we have on the list? There's some more stuff, no?
Yeah, we got some more stuff. I guess I'll bring up Tomb Raider real quick, because I finished that game.
No, I want to know, because last time we talked, you said it was a shitty game and you never wanted to play it. Or something along those lines, and I said it was my favorite game of last year, and so...
See, and that, like, I don't know why it's your favorite game of last year. It's not a bad game. It had its fun parts. I really like some of the action sequences.
You got the bow all leveled up, and you can do all...
I didn't level up the bow completely. I actually wanted the other stuff.
Christ.
This guy.
This guy.
No, okay, well, first of all, let's talk about the upgrading system. After about halfway through the game, I stopped paying attention to any upgrades. I just clicked on whatever. As soon as I got another skill point, I just clicked on... I was basically going for achievements, you know, just like max out one skill tree, max out one gun, because it didn't seem to affect my gameplay in any way.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
You played, like, a different game?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't need the help of the skill points. But no, they had like skill points for like retrieving more arrows off of bodies. Never had a single problem with ammunition. There's always
did
more.
Did you play like easy or like the kid mode?
I played
like,
on normal. I don't.
You were watching the video while the computer played.
You click the mode, it's a squeak toy.
Yeah. No, seriously.
It was not a difficult game. This is a very easy game. There were a few, you know, it was mostly an action platformer. You're basically hopping around from area to area, and there were a few fights in between where you had to kill guys, but you know, what happens with some games is I end up playing the game in a certain fashion in order to get achievements, even though I hate achievements. I'm just like, I want to get the achievements, so I will do this stupid dodge counter move 10 times just to get the achievement. It would be much easier just to throw a grenade at this guy and blow him up. You know, if I was playing this game any other way, yeah, I'd just blow this guy up with a grenade. But right. No, I'm going to do the dodge counter. So I did a lot of that in this game. I leveled up the gun or one skill tree just to get the achievement. I did dodge counter.
Why get the achievements, though?
Because I'm a sucker for that stuff. Yeah. It's not, I'm not saying.
No wonder you hate them.
Yeah. I'm totally a sucker for achievements. But yeah, so I did a lot of that. I played the game in a way that I wouldn't ordinarily have, but I didn't find the fights too difficult.
You obviously didn't set it on hard enough.
Yeah, I think I said like, it, I think I put it on hard.
Yeah, I don't play games on hard anymore. Usually I always just leave it on normal.
You don't play on hard, and then you complain that it was too easy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that a game needs to be on hard. Like, I'm not looking for a challenge in a single player game.
Welcome to the Anti-Bobby Show. Or we just shit on Bobby all day.
So, last week you were complaining about too many quick time events.
Yeah, too many quick time events.
That's, so, I said play more of the game. Right? Did you feel like there was less of them as you started to play more?
Slightly less. Okay. I mean,
this is what's going on here. We both think it's a great game, and you're wrong.
No, I will say this. The worst part about this game is definitely the story. Now, if you guys want to say the story was good, then I will...
No, I don't think the story was was great, but...
I like the way it was played out.
In the Tomb Raider lexicon, this was a good Tomb Raider game. Like, Tomb Raiders always have supernatural stuff going on. You know, she's supposed to be raiding old world stuff and getting things that are like, ancient artifacts. Like, within the Tomb Raider lexicon, that I thought that was a good story for it.
Yeah, but I feel like the story was more about Lara Croft. Lara and her, like, becoming the Tomb Raider. You know, like, her kind of making that that's transformation.
That's
her,
the good part.
Her character. No, that wasn't good. It was bad. It was really bad. Like, okay, we're supposed to believe she's this helpless archaeological, you know, like, bookworm chick, and she survives a shipwreck, and, you know, she lands on this island, and all of a sudden she's just headshotting guys.
And then she becomes a woman.
She becomes a woman. You know where the apex of her character arc was? When she got the grenade launcher. She gets the grenade launcher, and...
I'm not sure I ever used the grenade
launcher. I don't think
launcher.
I got it, either.
Yeah, with the machine gun, you get the grenade launcher, and you have
to... You did. We went both.
Yeah.
No, you have to use the grenade launcher to progress past that part. You have to use it to blow up certain obstacles to get through.
No, you can do it with a bow as well.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can shoot the bow into it and, like, pull down.
No, this is before you get that skill. No,
okay, explain the apex of the...
I don't think we played the same game.
I'm pretty sure we did, but go ahead.
So, yeah, so that's the point where, you know, up until that point, every time she runs into something, she's a little unsure, she's nervous, even though she's killed, like, 60 or 70 dudes. She's just like, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, I've only killed, like, 80 dudes already and survived, like, 20 cliff falls and, you know, have, like, superhuman Wolverine strength and can glide like a sugar glider from ledge to ledge. And,
I think he likes video games.
I didn't like this story. I had fun actually with like some of this stuff.
But the story is what it is. I love the progression of her from a girl to a woman.
There was no progression though.
Mentally, yeah, there was. And in skills. She's getting better at stuff, and that's all the stuff that's. It was a good groundwork
for the I thought it was really good. I agree completely with you, Emilio. How you start off. How they show her advancement both mechanically with the progression of skill points and stuff that you actually got better, but also from her personality wise, where she's very shy, she's uncertain, she's scared, and by the end of the
game... The first guy she kills, she's fucking terrified. First, like, three dudes, she's terrified.
The first one dude, she had some inhibitions about it, and yeah, and then she was just kind of shaken after the moment, and then...
Remember that creepy guy in this cave? Remember? Like, yeah, and... She's, like, kicking him away, and she's fucking terrified, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I don't know, I just really didn't... I really didn't feel that happening.
So you got no emotional impact from that game whatsoever?
No, no. I mean, it was so filled with tropes, though. I mean, there were a few situations where she was like, you know, she had to go climb the tower, and Roth is like, no, don't do it. She's like, no, I have to. I've got to go save him. And I, of course you do. You're the hero.
Yeah,
and
but then, those are tropes in TV and movies. This is new to video games. Like, the be able to have an emotional impact, it, you know... That's part of the reason why I like it, because it kind of felt like I was watching a TV show. It felt like I was watching Lost. Like,
I mean,
I got some emotional...
Let's not start with Lost.
Okay, well... But I got some emotional attachment to Lara, and every time something bad happened, I felt sorry for her.
Apparently it's apples and oranges here. I think we're not going to come to a conclusion. Yeah, fundamentally, we have different opinions on what's good.
I guess, but... I will say that video games, I give video games a little more credit when it comes to story because they don't have the background or I think the ability to really do what TV and movies does. You know, video games acting break range. Up, well, not necessarily acting, but video games break up the story with gameplay.
Right.
Then you get a cutscene and the story moves along a little bit. And that's not very good for, like, for telling a story. And so, like, a video game, I kind of give it a little more leeway. Maybe I was a little too hard on this because I was kind of criticizing it. Like,
what you need to do is play it again.
Can I talk about one more thing with this? Still, yeah. One more problem I had with this game.
Oh, jeez, okay. I thought it was going to be a good thing.
No, the game, and I think you mentioned last week, it does suffer from console-itis. Like, it is very console-y. And that happened at one point with me where there's a part where you can only get past... there's a guy on a machine gun shooting at you, and you have to slide down a rope to kill him. And that's the only way you can do it. So I'm trying to, like, headshot this guy for a while. Then I notice my reticle is not turning red. I'm like, well, maybe I can't kill this guy. Then I notice the rope up there. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I have to do this. And then I jump on it, and boom, cutscene. So it kind of... The game was very linear in that sense, where it kind of forces you down this narrow path of, no, this is what you have to do. This is how you have to handle this situation. No, you can't just shoot that guy. You got to do the cutscene. You know, it's just, I hate when games do that.
What? And no, now I'm going to say another good thing that I liked.
That's
like,
fair enough.
I'm like, I look up at this huge structure. I'm like, I got to get there. So I got to go there. Then I got to get there. And you're just looking at this huge thing and you're like, fuck, this is... There's like a 7-step process to get to where I need to. And I like that. Like the deconstruction of the physical puzzle. Not pushing shit around. Just like where to jump to get there.
Did you... Question. Have you played the other Tomb Raiders?
No, this is the first Tomb Raider I've ever played.
See, like maybe that's what... Because when I played the game, like I was thinking back to the old Tomb Raiders and seeing the next generation of this and seeing how they took the kind of very systematic climbing...
Because she's just a straight badass in the other one.
Yeah,
you don't want to see how she got there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but seeing just from the gameplay wise, how they translated those old games into this new generation, and it still worked and still felt like Lara Croft and all that stuff.
One of the greatest gaming experiences of my whole life is when that first Tomb Raider. I mean, it was one of the greatest games I've ever played, and it was one of those things where they fucked themselves. Because they did such a good job on the first game that none of the subsequent ones were. But anyway, when that T-Rex came out, like at the end of the game, I was just like, it was completely unexpected because there was nothing supernatural up until that point. Oh, fuck, I love that game. Yeah. I don't know.
They're dinosaurs?
But just one.
Like I said, they always have like supernatural.
Yeah, I think I heard that there are raptors in one of the games or something. There were like 4 Tomb Raiders before this, right?
Oh, way more than 4.
Like 6 or 7, probably.
Yeah. And different... Developers have been doing them and going back and forth.
Well, I think...
I only ever liked the first one and this one, though.
Well, I read some reviews on it to see if I was way off, and I don't know. There were a lot that were giving it high praises. PC Gamer, I think, had a really good review on it. They gave it a 75, which I think is totally fair. Like, I would put that game at a 75. Like, it's not a bad game.
80, 85.
For me. Probably 80 or 85.
I don't know why I like this so much more.
I think it's got an 86 on Metacritic, but... Yeah. I don't think I'd give it.
Have you ever rated a game as well as it's been on Metacritic?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I've rated games higher than Metacritic. Sometimes I think they're too low for certain games.
Yeah, like fucking Snot Cleanup Guy.
Yeah. This or
it's called Space Mexican. That's what it is.
Space Mexican. Okay. So, but we don't need to talk about that anymore. You beat it. We've set our piece on
Tomb Raider. We just beat it to death is what we just did.
Yeah, we did.
We should have stopped at an hour.
Yeah.
Sorry, listeners.
All right. Well, is there anything else you guys want to bring up?
Real quick. So for a bunch of people did shit for April Fool's. Mm-hmm. The funniest one, the best one that I saw, besides Ghost Simulator, which got a 1 out of 5, and everything, it's a terrible game. But
I like the little note that says, "We only fix crashes, all the other bugs we left in because they're cool," or whatever. I forget what he said.
So Path of Exile, they announced that they're going pay to win. As their new model, because they need more money, they said.
That's good, I like it.
Yeah, so wow. That was it.
Path of Exile, pay to win.
Yep. Are we going to shut this one down?
Yeah, let's do it. Else?
All right. Well, this has been Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast. You can check us out on our website, dlgaming.net. Email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. And our Steam group, DL Gaming, and eventually a YouTube channel one of these days, right?
Yeah.
We got to get our recording software working.
Yeah, we got to get it. Oh, well, last thing, just a reminder, if you want those Forced free games, email us, mention Forced, and tell us what you think of the podcast.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you. All right.